someone might reasonably say, okay, so God has something better prepared for me in the future. Someday I'm going to move out of the tent that's causing me a lot of trouble and into the marvelous building prepared by Jesus Christ himself. I get that. But here's my question. What then exactly is the purpose of my life now?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I think you're right. There are people who are asking that question. What is the purpose of my life right now?
Yeah, and the answer is to prepare for the life that is to come. Look, there's a challenge involved in living this life in the body. We're looking at 2 Corinthians 5, where we're told that the body's like a tent. There's going to be struggles living this life in the body. So we've got a challenge now. But there's also a challenge that lies ahead. We're going to be in the presence of Jesus. Where's the challenge there? Here's where it is. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And my opportunity to prepare for that is in the way that I am living right now. And so in the pressures that we face, there is also a tremendous opportunity that is given to us. And we're going to explore how we can grasp that and really use it wisely today.
All right. You got me intrigued. So let's get to today's message. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 6, as we begin the message, Bringing Joy to Jesus Christ. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, today we look at the question of not losing heart from another angle. And having got to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5, someone might reasonably say, okay, so God has something better prepared for me in the future. Someday I'm going to move out of the tent that's causing me a lot of trouble and into the marvelous building prepared by Jesus Christ himself. I get that, but here's my question. What then exactly is the purpose of my life now? What is the point of the life I have here in this tent and in this world? I mean, here I am in the tent, and the canvas seems to be sagging a bit, the ropes seem to be fraying, the pegs are bending, the rain is somewhat coming in. What is the point of this existence? Am I simply doing time in the tent until God sees fit to let me out of the tent, and then I go into the building and everything's going to be so much better? I hear what you say about the joys of the life to come. My question is, what is the point of the life that I have right now? Now, we all know the phrase that a person can be so heavenly minded as to be no earthly use. And it's very interesting when you think about that phrase that actually the Apostle Paul in the New Testament had to rebuke some Christian believers who had basically given up on this life. They thought a great deal about heaven and about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they had basically come to the conclusion, what's the point in working? I mean, what is the value really in going and earning a living in the light of this great eternity that is ahead? And so they basically dropped out, and Paul has to deal with that. You can read it in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3. You will find that God places the highest importance on our life with its difficulties here in this world, and he therefore calls us to do the same. And I do want to encourage you with regards to this. I've had many conversations over a period of time with folks in the congregation, and many of you have expressed something like this. You know, I look at my life and in the light of eternity, and here I am, and I have this job, and what is the point of what I am doing? I mean, I'm making money, I'm making widgets or whatever it is, but what does that really matter in the light of the big picture? And it's a real question. You're asking, what is the point, what is the value of life in the tent, life here as I'm giving it right now in this world? And the heart of the message today, what I've prayed for today and for this weekend in our services, is that you will be encouraged with a new sense of the purpose of your life in this world, even at its most frustrating. Even at its most frustrating, and perhaps we will see today especially at its most frustrating. God has great purpose for you in your life in this world. So I hope you have your Bible open at 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. Now you'll see there straight away, if you look at verse 6 and verse 8, that the Christian life, or the life of a Christian, is really in two parts, and very encouragingly, both of them are described as being at home. Verse 6, we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. Verse 8, we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So here is a Christian, we said last time, a person with two homes, one life that is lived in two very unequal parts. Now I am at home in the body. That's a description of our life now in this world. And while we are at home in the body, we are, as Christian believers in Christ, and we're living this life in the body by faith. That's why he says in verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. So as long as I am living this life in the body, I live in Christ and by faith, and I will experience many pressures, many difficulties, many frustrations and all the rest of it. The tent sags, it wears out, the pence bend, and eventually the whole thing will be taken down. But when that happens, as we saw last time, I will be at home with the Lord. I will move, and you will move as a Christian believer, from living in Christ and by faith to living with Christ and by sight. And it is a very, very wonderful change that will take place. These are the two parts of a Christian's one life. Life in the body, life with the Lord. And they are two very unequal parts. To be with the Lord, the Apostle Paul says in Philippians, is better by far. It is incomparably better, and it is unimaginably longer. The Christian has one life in very unequal parts. But it is one life.
What a reminder from Pastor Colin today that the Christian life is one life, but it's in two very unequal parts. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Bringing Joy to Jesus Christ. It's the second message in our series called Don't Lose Heart, where we're taking a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, you can always come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. It's your generosity that allows us to continue to bring you Pastor Colin's teaching on this station, online, and through the app. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a book that Colin picked out. It's written by Phil Ryken. It's called, I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. We'd love to send you a copy of this book as our way of saying thank you for your financial support. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, the website is openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, many of you will have lived your life in more than one place. I was just reflecting on my own life, just trying to think of illustrating this by way of experience. And my life so far in this world has been in two parts, and I have been at home in two places. Part one was in the United Kingdom for 38 years. Part two of my life has been here in the United States. It has lasted for 18 years, and it is continuing. But it is one life, and it has been lived in two very different places. There's continuity of memory and of experience. I have known myself to be in the UK. I know myself here to be in the US. It's my life. It continues unbroken in the marvelous continuity of the life that God gives to me. And many of you will be able to translate that into your own particular story, and some of you living in multiple places at different times in your life. Now, this is true of you as a Christian. Just try and think of what you experience in this world and project it out onto the totality of your life. You have one life. Your life begins here when you're at home in the body, and it will continue an unbroken continuity as you pass through death. It will continue as you are at home with the Lord. You will know yourself to be there as much as you know yourself to be here. And you will look back with an awareness of all that Christ has redeemed you from, knowing yourself and knowing others, healed of all that which is painful, all tears wiped from your eye, but knowing yourself to have a life that began in a certain place and continued for a certain time and now is in another place, not in the body, but with the Lord, as you are immediately translated after death into the presence of Jesus. So this is what we're learning from 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. And here now is the heart of what I want to lay before you today. The Christian then has one life in two parts, and each part has both a challenge and an opportunity. The Christian has one life lived in two parts, and both parts have both an opportunity and a challenge. Now, it is easy to see the challenge that we have now. We thought about that last week, life in the tent and all the rest of it. We know the difficulties of that. You're living in the tent, you're walking by faith and not by sight. We understand the challenge of the life that we have now. And it's very easy for us to understand the opportunity that we will have when we are with Christ. I mean, we will be with Christ. You will see the King in his beauty. Faith will be turned into sight. So what we've looked at in the first five verses of 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 is the challenge of life now and the opportunity of life that is to come. The challenge in the body and the opportunity with the Lord. What I want us to see today from verses 6 to 10 is that actually you can flip that on its head, and I want us to look at the challenge that we will have then with the Lord and the opportunity that we have now while we are in the body. And you might immediately say, what possible challenge could there be when I am in the presence of the Lord? And the answer to that, of course, is in verse 10. Will you look at it with me? There will be a challenge to face when you are at home with the Lord. And here's what it is. Verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Now, that's not happening now. While you're in the body, you are not before the judgment seat of Christ. But what the Bible is telling us is that when you are in the presence of Christ, that will be your experience then. And we're being told that because we have to prepare for it. So there's a challenge related to then, and there is correspondingly an opportunity that relates to now. Precisely the mirror reverse of what we were looking at last week. Three things that a Christian needs to know about the judgment seat of Christ. Very simply. Number one, you will not be condemned. If you're in Christ, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. Those who put their trust in him will never be put to shame. Romans chapter 10 and verse 11. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. John chapter 3 and verse 16. If you are in Christ, you will stand before the Lord as his redeemed child. No Christian believer, no person in Christ will experience the wrath of God because Christ entered into hell on the cross on your behalf so that you should never, never, never know what that is like. Your home in heaven, we saw last week, was not built with human hands, and it certainly cannot be dismantled by the failure of human hands either. A person in Christ cannot lose his or her salvation in the judgment seat of Christ. By the way, that's an amen moment. Isn't that something you're thankful for? I'm so, so thankful for that, my security in Jesus Christ. Number two, second thing that every Christian needs to know about the judgment seat of Christ, you will give an account. You will not be condemned. You will give an account. Now, Scripture speaks of this so many times, Hebrews 4:13, how everything is uncovered before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Romans 14 and verse 12, each of us must give an account of himself to God. Matthew 12 and verse 36, Jesus speaks of how we will give an account for every careless word that we have spoken. And this scripture itself, we must all, and he's writing to Christian believers, we must all, brothers, sisters, stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You will give an account. In the college where both Karen and I studied and trained, the curriculum was made up of two elements. There were examinable courses that contributed towards the degree. And then there were other courses that were mandatory for all students, but they were not examinable, and they did not contribute towards the degree. Well, you can understand with a bunch of students, every time there was a new course that started, the discussion in the dining room was, is this one of the examinable ones or is this one that doesn't count towards the degree? And as you can imagine, the professors who had to teach the non-examinable courses had a pretty rough time. And the first thing, obviously, was that the attendance at these classes was considerably lower. The second thing was that the level of attention was definitely lower. This was before email. It was before tweeting and texting and all the rest of it. But people were old-fashioned, longhand writing letters to other people and pushing notes around the place and all the rest of it. Well, you get the picture, and it's not hard to put yourself in that situation. So let's invent a student, and we'll call him John. And there's a new course that's starting at the college, and it's on Monday morning at 7 o'clock. And people are talking about this in the dining room. What's this with a new course? I mean, Mondays at 7 o'clock. I mean, who needs that? Oh, says someone in the group, you don't need to worry about this. It's one of these non-examinable courses. Just sign in to show that you've been there. That's all you need to do. You can doze off to sleep for the rest of the time. So that's what John does. He goes in there for the first week, and he starts taking notes, but, you know, it's 7 o'clock Monday morning, and he's a student, and he writes a few things, but it's hard going, and he begins to think after a while, why bother? I mean, it doesn't even count towards the degree. And then the next week, John shows up late because he slept in, and the week after that, he didn't show up at all because he forgot to set his alarm, and you've got the feeling of the story. The last day of the class, the teacher has an announcement. As you know, this course is not examinable and it does not count towards the degree. This does not mean, however, he says, that the course is unimportant. As a graduate, you will require a reference from this college. And at the end of this session, he says, I want each of you to submit the notes that you have taken throughout the last 10 weeks of this class, and they will be placed in your file as evidence of the character and commitment that you show to learning. And when future employers are asking for a reference from this college, we will write you a reference and we will append the notes that you have taken over these last weeks for them to see your character. And John looks through his file, half a measly page from session one, one paragraph from the second half of session two. Session three, not a stroke of the pen because he slept in that entire day. And suddenly he realizes that the shoddy work he has done for 10 weeks will be the first thing that is seen by his potential employer. He rushes to the tutor. "This is not fair," he says. "This is not fair. I was told quite clearly that this course does not count towards my degree, and if I knew that it mattered, I would have done better work." "You're quite right," says the tutor. "It does not count towards your degree. The mistake you made was that you thought it didn't count for anything. And that's a terrible mistake." And you see, there are many Christians who have made the same mistake as John. They have learned that entrance into heaven does not depend on our works. That is true. Salvation is the gift of God. It is by grace. It is through faith. It is in Jesus Christ. But it is a big mistake to assume from that your Christian life doesn't count for anything. Brothers, sisters, says Paul, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to give an account. Therefore, we make it our aim to please him. We're going through the course of our life in this world with the knowledge that while we are not trying to earn our way into heaven, which we could never do, and Christ has purchased that for us, we are on a journey in which one day we are going to stand before the King of Kings himself. And he's going to look me in the eye, and I'm going to see him in his beauty and in his glory. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you need to know that when that happens, you will not be condemned if you're in Jesus Christ. That's the wonderful truth. You also need to know that you will give an account. Not as a means to salvation that is in Christ, but don't get the idea that your Christian life doesn't count for anything. That's a terrible mistake.
Well, unfortunately, we do have to pause the message right there. You're listening to a message entitled Bringing Joy to Jesus Christ. And I know as we face the overwhelming pressures and the difficulties of this life, we can be kind of left asking the question, how? How do I not lose heart in this world? And that's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is all about. In this series, we're answering that question, how am I supposed to live in this world and not lose heart? How do I face the pressures of life, everything all around me, and not be overwhelmed and discouraged? And if you want to get a copy of today's message or the series, Don't Lose Heart, ask about that when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you a copy of Phil Ryken's book, I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. And Colin, who would you say this book is for?
Well, it is for anyone who has ever experienced any doubt. And I would think that's pretty much anyone. You know, faith always has questions because there are so many things that God has not yet revealed to us. You know, sometimes I think when people doubt, they think, I must be the only person that has this question. Well, the good news is actually the Bible is filled with characters who doubted and had different kinds of doubt. And what Phil Ryken has done very wonderfully in this book is he's identified not only different stories of doubt, so we're introduced to different characters, but different types of doubt. So, for example, Eve had doubts about God's word. Moses had doubts about God's call. You've got Naomi, who had doubts about God's generosity. You had Asaph, who had doubts about God's justice. So you discover different kinds or families of doubt, and real people who actually battled their way through it. It's a wonderful book, and I think it's profoundly helpful.
Well, we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365 or openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
who in your life needs to know the God of the Bible and might be willing to open the Bible with you if you ask them? Most people can think of someone, and many are finding that someone in their life is open to this invitation. Would you be interested in opening the Bible with me? Fly Through the Bible is a short, simple, and shareable book that will help you open the Bible with a friend, a neighbor, or a loved one who needs to know Jesus. It's also freely available online. Fly Through the Bible has 15 short sections, each with 5 discussable questions that will open conversations around the Word of God. For more information, visit openthebible.org/fly. That's openthebible.org/fly.